All right, open your Bible. David, you're going to miss this. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. It's good. Amen. Why are we in Jeremiah? I don't know. God just put me over there. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your word. We thank you that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, divides asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God makes a clean slice, separating my soul from my spirit, speaking to me, causing my spirit to inform my soul. Father, we thank you for that right now. My soul needs information. My soul needs to be informed of the blessing that it has received. And it doesn't have to operate on its own wisdom or knowledge or understanding. In fact, it needs to pretty much jettison most of its understanding. Because the Word of God is transforming my mind, so that I might prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, was your word unto me. Father, we give you praise. Here a little, there a little. Father, thank you for transforming us and changing us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, God's good. How to jump into this. Reading Jeremiah not too long ago, God just showed me that it's not just Jeremiah, but it's you and me. Amen? I mean, Jeremiah, God came to Jeremiah not as a, individually, not as a group, right? Amen? He came to him individually. He came to Samuel individually. He came to these men of God who are prophets. He came to them individually. Who they weren't prophets before, but they were prophets after God got through with them. Amen? After God gets through with you, now whether you're in an office, in the office of a prophet, New Testament has specific what we call offices. Basically, they're gifts. That because in Ephesians chapter 4 that... Paul talks about the fact that Jesus went, when he led captivity captive, he ascended into heaven and he gave gifts unto men. And he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. Pastors who teach, who are teachers. And so these are gifts to the church. How many of you know a prophet was a gift to Israel? Amen? How many know there are a lot of things that God gives as gifts that we don't really necessarily consider as gifts sometimes. Sometimes your parents don't, when you're young, your parents don't seem like a gift. They seem like a stumbling block and a hindrance. Amen? But God gives you gifts as He deems fit, as He sees fit for your blessing. You know, over in Ephesians, what does He give them for? We looked at just for a second, just for fun. Amen? How many think the Word of God is fun? Amen. That's good. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we hereafter be no more children for this purpose, okay? These gifts are, now here's the result. That we are no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but rather speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So what's the end of the whole thing? Walk in love. So he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that you might walk in love. Boom. There you have it. All right? So he's giving in Elijah, Jeremiah begins, God calling him. God calling him. How many know that if you're born again, you're called of God? Hello? Amen. Say, yes, I am. I mean, yeah, say, that's good. Yes, I am. Yeah. No, don't be like, you know, well, I'm not sure. No, if you're born of God, God put His word in you and caused you, and you received it. And so, as many as received Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God. Amen? That's you. So, you are a son of God. You've been chosen. You have received Him. And now, He dwells and lives on the inside of you. Now, in the Old Testament, it didn't quite work exactly the same way. God would call somebody, and He would put His Spirit in them. Now, let's look at the book of Jeremiah in chapter 1. Chapter 1 is great, because now, you look at the book of Jeremiah, it just goes on and on and on with the prophetic words to Israel. But looking at the very beginning, and the genesis of the ministry of Jeremiah is very distinct, as is Isaiah and various other prophets. But just to look here and just to prepare Jeremiah for what his ministry was going to be. And I liken this to the nation we live in today. I believe that the reason I'm ministering on this is because it relates to how you and I relate to where we find ourselves today. Because there's a transition that has occurred in the social and the economic and the political, which is very similar to what took place in Israel, between Israel and Judah, the two kingdoms, Judah being the kingdom of Judah, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, those two tribes, and the kingdom of Israel, which is the northern kingdom, which is separated from them, and their capital was in Samaria, and Judah's capital was down in Jerusalem. And so these two kingdoms, and Israel was the rest of the 10 tribes, and they were completely dispersed. You know, so the only two tribes that we're close familiar with, called Jews today, are Judah and Benjamin. And they're the ones who, by and large, have come and founded the reconstituted state of Israel, you know, in our day, beginning back in the 1800s, actually. So that those people began to move back to that area back in the 1800s, and then finally in 1948, after World War II, reconstituted the nation of Israel. But that nation of Israel is not the nation of Israel that began, and not the nation of Israel that will be. Again, that nation of Israel has yet to follow God. Amen? Now, there are a lot of believers. There are a lot of believers in Messiah in the new Israel. But this here in the book of Jeremiah, let's look at it and give you a little background that I was able to pull together. The Jeremiah, I'm going to read the first few verses, and then we'll look into some of the background. The words of Jeremiah, this is chapter 1, verse 1. The son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So 13th year of Josiah's reign. It came also, the word of the Lord, came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, to the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, to the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month of that year. Now Jeremiah's ministry lasted approximately It was over 40 years and approximately began at about 625 B.C. until a few years after Judah ceased to be a state. Now, obviously, you'll know that's coming here in and we just read it in the scripture there, is that in 586 B.C. or thereabouts, the nation of Judah, the state of Judah, became taken over by Babylon. Now, over 50 years of religious apostasy under Manasseh were followed by religious reforms under Josiah. Josiah, in other words, we have what we usually refer to as the evil kings and the good kings, right? And if you've read through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, typically you have these kind of back and forth, back and forth. This guy built up the groves, which is all the places where all the heathen, worshipped, and they built up these nature groves, Mother Gaia, the whole nine yards, nature worship, and gods made out of stone, and gods made from the various seasons, and fire, water, all of these things. Because they were wanted to follow after the ways of the world. They wanted to be in connection with the ways of the people around them. How many know kids don't like it? People don't like being different. Anybody ever notice that? People don't like being different. They like kind of, believe it or not, they don't like being different. They like kind of amalgamation. They like kind of being the same, doing the same, eating the same, being the same, laughing at the same stuff, doing the same things. People enjoy doing that. God, but that's the nature of sin. That's the nature of sin on the inside of you. Is that, and you follow after each other. When Dean Gocher's here, our friend talking about education and the workplace, that everybody likes to be in the group, right? Nobody wants to say, well, I don't believe that, in a whole room full of people. I don't buy that, Nobody wants to do that. By and large, people don't like doing that. Because what happens to you when that happens? What happens to you? You get, starts with a P, persecuted. That's right. You get persecuted. But the fact is that you as a believer, you as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, have now been set and assigned, since you are purchased by God. You are under His authority, not under your own authority. And that authority, as we talked about this morning, taking your authority is not you taking what you want to do and by golly, I got authority now and I can do something with it. No, your authority is based on your meekness. Remember what meekness is? Is being under authority. Hupotasso, which is being under authority. Under whose authority? Whose authority are you under? God's authority. So if you're under God's authority, then you say what He wants you to say. You do what He wants you to do. You separate yourself, not necessarily physically, but intellectually, mentally, and on belief, you live a separate life. Because you are actually one who declares the Word of God. You are one who hears God's Word and declares it to the world. You are Jeremiah. Say it, I'm Jeremiah. Okay? I mean, maybe that's not your name, but that's who you are. You are Jeremiah. You are a prophet of God. Are you in that, say, the gifting, say, where you are doing this, like this is the only thing you do? If you start walking in it, you never know. If you start walking in it and in what God tells you to do, you don't know where you'll end up. Amen? You don't know where you'll end up. Some of these guys Paul was a tent maker. Paul was a tent maker and a lawyer. Yeah, but he didn't know he was going to end up going all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't even believe in it. So now, God is using that in this instance here. And let's read this story about how Jeremiah began, or God began, Jeremiah's ministry. Because this is, how, in a sense, how God is going to, or in likelihood, how God is going to start your ministry if you haven't already started. Amen? If you haven't already started. Because you're separated. So let's read it. Let me read a little more of our background here. And over 50 years, Josiah had done religious reforms, which Jeremiah had supported, you know, and we read that as we read through the book. And he noticed that the reforms weren't really doing anything. How many know we're trying to reform things around here in our nation? We're trying to do reforms. We're trying to reform things. Many of us trying to reform things back to the gospel. I mean, you can do all that. That's fine, but don't believe in it. In the sense that, see, we got so many people who are believing in all the stuff that they're doing. It's fine to keep the grass mowed. Amen? It's fine to keep the grass mowed, but just don't believe you're going to make it quit growing. Amen? Grass is going to grow. It's just going to grow. Now, if you keep it mowed, that's good. Keep it down. Keep things leveled out. But you're not going to stop it. Grass just groweth. And sin groweth. In this world, in this nation, you know, the proclivity for sin is to just grow and get bigger, isn't it? Anybody ever notice that? Things have kind of changed. Things have kind of changed over the last 250 years, and they're not changing for the better. Amen. So we have having that expectation as if this were the nation that God did create the nation. But again, you know, God created Israel as well. Now, how did that turn out? We're fixing to read about it, right? We're fixing to read about it. I mean, God created Israel to bring the Savior. Well, we read in Luke, the last or Matthew or Luke, whichever it was, about the genealogy of Jesus, and God bringing from Adam to Abraham to David to Jesus to bring the Savior into the world in the fullness of time. So in bringing the Savior in the fullness of time, that was the purpose of Israel, wasn't it? Was it Israel's purpose to have a law and keep a law and be the example by following the law? Or is Israel the example by pointing to the Messiah? Israel's the example by pointing to a Messiah. Israel's the example by not the only reason is you're given the law again is to keep the grass mowed, right? To keep evil down, to keep it, put it in jail, to keep it from overtaking and taking over. That's the reason for laws. Not so that you will be changed by those laws. God knows you're not going to be changed by laws. You're going to be changed by the living God living and moving on the inside of you. So as Israel moved forward to bring the birth of Jesus in the fullness of time, this nation, our nation, I believe, had been created again at a perfect time to bring the gospel all over the world. To be a perfect nation? No. In fact, we have seen the moralities and the ways in which this nation has operated and the ways in which it has followed a path of a downhill spiral, as you know, I've experienced certainly in my 56 years, from going to praying in schools to kids who never have heard the name of Jesus or the name of God in a school, in a school that you would, in a wonderful neighborhood, you'd say. And yet those schools have never said, there are children in those schools who have never heard anyone pray, ever. They've never heard the name of Jesus. They are not familiar at all with anything having to do with the gospel unless they have to say the Pledge of Allegiance under God. Now, Eric and I went to school together for many years, and we have seen that, and have seen that direction. And Jeremiah saw that direction, didn't he? As we're going to see. So again, I'm paralleling at this point Israel and Jeremiah's Israel with our United States of America. Should we continue to work and build up and be outspoken and active? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but the thing is, don't believe in it in the sense that, see, we work in politics a lot, Pastor Jim and I both, and some of y'all, and we're not devastated when our side doesn't win. We're like, we figured, We're not devastated when things don't go our way. It doesn't stop us from working because we're not expecting it. What we're doing is doing what the Holy Spirit told us to do. We're not getting like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, because we're not emotionally involved. We're not emotionally invested. We're God invested. We're invested in the sense that we believe that God told us to go do that. Now, well, what about the result? You ever read Bible stories where the result didn't look like it was really all that significant? Absolutely. But God is working behind the scenes. Number one, He's not only working behind the scenes in people and nations and states and governments, but He's working behind the scenes in you. So just do what He told you to do. Do what He told you to do. Get up and do. Get up and do something. You'll be, well, you know, I don't know how to do anything. Well, it's because you never did anything. Just get up and just go show. Just show up. I don't care if you show up at your school, your kid's school. I don't care if you show up, you know, at a political meeting. I don't care if you show up at a town hall meeting. I don't care if you show up down at the to volunteer down at the hospital. You are the demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's important for you not to sit at home. And I know you love your kids, you know, you love your wife, and that. You know, I get beat up for being gone too long all the time. But when we come together, we understand in our that God called me to do the things that I'm doing. Amen? You know, even being bivocational. You know, some of you don't even know that I do 40 hours somewhere else. You know, and then, you know, doing, you know, five other things. But God has called me to do that. And you know what God called you to do? A lot of it. He did. He just called you to do it. So I'm encouraging you today. Get up and get involved somewhere, not to change the world, but what will happen is you're going to change people. And you're going to change individuals. And you're going to change you, because you're going to be under that persecution that Paul talked about this morning. You know, people are not going to like you. A lot of you don't do things because you're afraid somebody won't like you. Well, good. You need to go do that. You need to go show up where somebody doesn't like you. It'd be helpful. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Be good for you. Amen. Take Reed with you. Yeah. They'd love it when I called her name in the middle of the church. Amen. But people are going to do that. They're going to call your name. Amen. And so you learn how to take that. Amen. Let's read a little further. So Jeremiah supported those reforms. He realized the reforms weren't changing people's hearts. 2 years after Josiah's death in the Battle of Carchemish, in 605, Babylon established control over Western Asia. So Babylon was coming. They were coming west. From that time, Jeremiah advocated submission to, that was the government. In other words, the government was, at that time, Babylon. That was the government. You know, they had no way of, Israel had no way of doing anything else. I mean, they had already come in and, you know, kind of set up shop. And, but without success. In other words, his words were not listened to. Fun part of Jeremiah to read is chapter 36. When Jeremiah wrote down some stuff, and how what he wrote down in a book, he wrote a book basically, and had that book going around. And just go read it, Jeremiah chapter 36. Just write that down. All right, and now under the last four kings after Josiah, 21 years of religious apostasy and political weaknesses made the fall of Jerusalem in 586 inevitable. So, looking over at chapter 1, verse 1 again, Jeremiah is a man of faith. Verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came. To whom the word of the Lord came. So the word of the Lord came to him. Amen? So he's a man of faith. He's a man who's in the Jewish faith, and God comes to him and speaks to him. And he says, here's what we're going to do. Now we're going to read a little bit about it. So in the days of these kings, until the carrying away of Jerusalem into exile. Verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So before I formed you, and of course, you know, we use this verse a lot with respect to our fight against abortion, because if it's true of Jeremiah, it's true of every child that's born. Before I formed you, I knew you. I knew you before you even started. Amen? I knew you were coming. You were on my agenda and you were on my list. Before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth, before you were born, I sanctified, that is, I separated you, and ordained. Now, the word ordained actually means to establish. Like when we ordain a minister, lay hands on a minister, a person who's expressed a desire to go into, to follow in the path of the apostles or the disciples as a minister of the gospel, and they have proven their ministry by actively working in that ministry, then we recognize that and we lay our hands on them, as the scripture teaches. We lay our hands on them and we establish them before the body, before those in before whom they're going to minister. We establish them in that position and say, "We believe that these men of God are established by God, and we're just doing this outward demonstration to clarify it and to let you know that we believe that and we've seen that." So here he says, before you came forth, God is sanctifying or separating, moving you, setting you aside. How many know that you have been set aside? You, every one of you, born from above, born from in the kingdom of heaven, has been set aside. You've been set aside from this world for the work of heaven. Whether or not you are in one of the gifting offices, you can go over to Romans chapter 12 and find other gifts that apply to every one of you in some way. So Romans chapter 12, you can go look at the gifts that apply to each one of you. Mercy, teaching, you know, various other things. All right? So now you have been separated, and now God is ordaining you, or he ordained Jeremiah here and established him. Now the establishment can either come through people at the front of a church, or the establishment can just come by God and people recognizing the fact that whatever you put your hand to, it prospers. Or whatever you put your hand to, things begin to happen in that area. Whether it's teaching, whether it's in your home, in your neighborhood, in your business, in political activity, wherever you may be, God is going to ordain and establish you in that place. And you have to understand that there is a God who lives on the inside of you, and you are under His authority, and you take that authority and you begin to walk in it. And you may not know where you're going to end up, but you just take the first step. Amen? This is what the gospel does. It's not just trying to win somebody to Jesus, but it's changing lives in every form, in every way. You're changing lives by showing up. Why? Because you're already changed. I didn't think it was me. You have already been changed, and therefore the Holy Spirit is changing you and then changing them. Amen? That's what we always tell you. Just show up. Just explode somewhere. And answer your phone. It may be somebody important. But God is changing people by you showing up. Amen? Say amen. Oh, that's good. I like that. All right, now. So this is what God said. And, you know, so the word of the Lord came to me saying, you know, before I formed you and out of the womb I sanctified you and I ordained you. And then said I. Uh-oh. Now here's your part. Here's what you say. Everybody know how to say that? You know, when somebody gives you a big event, you know, and it involves you, and you were not aware of it until the guy started talking, and you start doing the Michael Jackson thing, doing the moonwalk backwards. You'd like to get to the moon. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, boy, how holy is that? So he's going to answer God. So you're in your quiet little quiet place, and God shows you this stuff, and your eyes get real big. And all of a sudden you say, God, something you may not know about me. Well, I knew you before I formed you in the belly. And before you came forth, before you were born, I separated you, and then I've already ordained you and established you as a prophet to the nations. Little parentheses right there. A prophet to what? How many? That's weird. I thought he was a prophet to Israel. He's ordained him a prophet to the nations. That's amazing. That's amazing. You could be a prophet to the nations just like this guy. Amen? Well, I just found that powerful, is that I ordained you a prophet as a prophet to the nations. Okay, now, then said I, Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. What did he just say in verse 5? What did the guy just say? He answered all questions in the previous verse, and all of a sudden, here Jeremiah comes. It's kind of interchangeable. Me and Jeremiah are kind of interchangeable as far as our ability to argue with God with respect to His what He's already called me to do, because He owns me. But the Lord, okay, so I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. So, behold. The first word is behold. So, behold means, like, take a look. Just consider. God, just consider me. You know me. So, you're telling God, look, don't you see? I cannot speak. You're discounting God's empowerment, which He just gave in the prior verse. For I am a child. And you're telling him why. You're not only telling him he's wrong, you're telling him why he's wrong. Amen. Well, brother, I'd love to do that kind of stuff, but I just know there's no way I can. I'm just not into it. I just don't know how. I didn't know anything before I started either. You just begin to step out. You begin to step out and let God lead you. Amen. Maybe you're a coach for a little league team. That's great. That's awesome stuff. Anytime you have an ability to get with people, and let them get a load of you, you may be totally unqualified for whatever it is you're jumping into. That's okay. You're either going to learn it or you're going to be affect the people that you're with, whether they hate you. But the fact is you're not going back to find out, you know, how to do it better. What you want to do is go back and find out what God wants you to do, and who He wants you to be with, who He wants you to talk to. Like the turkeys over there. It sounds like turkeys. Yeah. Y'all can tell them that later. Okay. Yeah, at least they're not kids. Say not, I am a child. Now here's what God says. Say not. Don't say that. Isn't that funny how God tells you what not to say? It's good. If you slow down and read this stuff, it just changes you. Amen? Just slow down. You know, some of you, we read the chapter. Okay, I did it. You just get to the end of it, and glory to God. Oh, it was about Jeremiah. What about him? God made him a prophet. No, read it. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Now, verse 8, we sang about this morning, Paul, don't be afraid. I will not be afraid at all. My stronghold, my Savior, I will not be afraid at all. I will not be moved. Verse 8 says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So again, he's pushing you out among people. Why? Because you are the lamp. You're the one who has the oil. You're the one who brings the light. You're the one who brings the salt. You're the one who shows up and brings the kingdom of heaven into the light. Amen? Oh, me? Say amen. It's good for you. Good for you. It's like exercise. So you're the one who shows up because you're filled with the oil. You're the light. You know, you are the light of the world. You are the light when you say you show up. So I guess really what I'm kind of encouraging you to do today for sure is to allow yourself to be put out there in front. Okay? Out there in front of people. Don't just hide out. Churches have hidden out for years. Amen? They got their own little bowling alley. They don't go to the bowling alley where they drink beer. They go to the bowling alley where they don't drink beer. You know. In fact, they usually hide the bowling alley under the church. Next to the swimming pool. So nobody can see it. All right? So the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, behold. Okay, look again. The word behold. I have put my words in your mouth. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now, verse 10, see, okay, I find this interesting that he continually is telling me to look, to see, to say. He says, see, look, notice, look at this. I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Is that, y'all know that's you? I know it's Jeremiah. We like to say it's Jeremiah, but it's also you. Because he has put his words in, what did he just say? He has put his words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and to build and to plant. So this is God's commission. So God's act was to put forth his hand and touch my mouth. God's appointment was that I have put my words in your mouth. God's commission is, I have set you over the nations and over kingdoms to do these things. Here's his commission. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, but what else? To build and to plant. So the first part is tearing down. You remember what they would do to the groves when the good king would come in, the righteous king? They'd go in and tear down all the groves that had grown up and all the little places out in the woods, you know, where people would do the things that are unspeakable and unmeasurable. And he would build up the places of worship, bring back in the vessels of worship into the temple, into the kingdom of God, into Jerusalem, and reinstitute the worship of God, and reinstitute the sacrifices, which sacrifices did not get rid of sin, as we hear about in Hebrews, but they were a type and shadow of the Savior and the Messiah to come. So it's to remind us and to bring us. And that's what Jerusalem and Israel were all about, was not to be God's chosen people to be His favorites, but to be God's people to bring the whole world to Jesus. That's what we are, the church, to bring the whole world, at least my whole world, you know, Brian and Gina's whole world, you know, to Jesus, you know. Ryan and Mara and Maris, you know, getting started, you know. Have a little kingdom going on. How many know that's the first family is the first government? How many know that, right? Anybody know that? First government wasn't the church. The first government was family. That's why if your man can't rule his house, he can't rule in the kingdom in the church of God. Because you've got to be able to rule your own house. Amen? And if you're just a single person, you've got to learn how to rule this house. Amen? This one. Good thing you're not married yet. Just rule this one. But you can only rule any of them under God. It's the only way you can rule them. You can't rule your own house, even if you're a single person. You can't rule yourself under your own authority. You know, the devil's got your authority. He's got you wagging you around by a string. You don't even have control of yourself. Unless you're submitted to God, you have no authority over your own life. Somebody write that down. Unless you're submitted to God, you have no authority over your own life. And the devil's got you just wagging around any way he wants to. Because your mind is still based on his lies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, enough preaching. Now back to the story. So, this year, on January 1st, or 31st, or December 31st, Janet and I were in a meeting in a church that Jordan and Robin are going to, which is right up by my house, believe it or not. The word spoken, and we received a word spoken to us about taking authority, as Doris was talking about this morning. And somebody else was talking about it. Kelly was talking about it this morning. And David was talking about Jeremiah, which is just like, whoa, that's cool. And all of these things working together, that when we're talking about taking that authority, God was beginning to show me that you're taking the authority in the place that He has placed you. Like we're in particular places. We're in various places, and the word was that God wants you to begin to step out in that authority. And all that means is, doesn't mean you make the decisions, you just become available. You just become available to be used of God in a place where He wants to use you. When your name will be called and you just step out. It's like your number's called. You know, when you just show up and God's going to call your number and He'll put you in your position. Amen? And so He says, take your authority where you, David and Janet in our case, where God has established you. So you may be, you know, wherever you're at, whatever local community items that you're involved in, whether it's school, work, you know, sports or whatever, is that God is going to begin to use you. Say amen. Amen. All right? See? And then you allow Him to use it. You don't say, but God, I can't speak. See, isn't that you? 99% of you? You know? I didn't get up here start talking because I was good at talking. You know? I wasn't any good at talking. I just believed God told me to do it. You know? And after a while, you get at least used to it, but then you got to be unused to it. Then you got to get to where you're not just comfortable talking. Amen. How's that guy talk so long? I'd be out of gas in 5 minutes. You know? Well, yeah, but you begin to hear the Lord. You begin to follow God. You begin to know what God wants you to say. Like I said, some days you need to know when to show up. Amen. But He hadn't said that yet. All right. So, Janet and I are believing this year, and we're saying that about ourselves. Okay, God, we're going to step out and the authority that You've given us. Where I got to quit pretty quick. When I was reelected to the State Republican Executive Committee this past time, there's really no way I should have won. The Denton County, my district is split by between Denton and Tarrant County. And our Senate district, a third of it is in Tarrant County and two-thirds is in Denton County. Well, the guy who won the last time, you know, and he's a big dog up in Denton County. And it should be no way I would win. I didn't make any phone calls. I didn't even call anybody. I sent out one email to all the delegates to the thing. Then show up at the state convention. And, you know, when they announced the winner, it was like, huh? What? I think it was like 185 to 154. And again, there's two-thirds of them and one-third of us. When I say us, because Tarrant County, I mostly would figure I'd have. Not necessarily that either. May not be people who like me here. And but two-thirds to one-third, and then 185 to 154, it's like, really? I just kind of sat there for a couple of minutes going, what? And so, because you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know what God is going to do to promote you to the position that He wants you to be in. When I say, see, promotion comes from the Lord, but it doesn't necessarily mean you get a raise. I'm getting paid the same as I was before. Nothing on that deal, you know. In fact, I'm spending more money. But promotion comes from the Lord. What that promotion is that God puts you forward to make you a voice for His purpose. Amen? Yeah, it can mean the other, but by and large, when promotion comes from the Lord, He takes care of the bill, but He also sends you. Amen?
Amen.
So, get ready. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Oh, good. You want me to tell you what your assignments are, each one of you? I don't have them. I don't know what they are. All right, now beginning in verse 11, and we'll kind of move a little faster here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 11, Jeremiah, what do you see? And all of a sudden God begins to give visions. God begins to give you more direction. And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have well seen. Good job. You said what you saw. For I will hasten, that word hasten there means I will watch over my word to perform it. Many of you know that verse, obviously. I will watch over my word to perform it. That what you see, I'm going to bring it to pass. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a seething or a boiling pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, God's going to interpret it for him, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land, for lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me, and have burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their hands. So you see what God is not happy over. And is it because God has to have worship to be fulfilled? No. It's because you need to worship God to be fulfilled. Amen? It's not like God's got this big megalomaniac, and He's got to have everybody praise Him. All right, everybody, come on. No, it's for you. Once you begin to praise God, you begin to be changed. And Israel was just falling apart because they were following after all the little nations around them who were just destroying themselves. Verse 17, you therefore gird up your loins and arise. I guess that could mean me, couldn't it? I guess that could mean you, couldn't it? You, therefore, gird up your loins. In other words, tie your shoes, get your coat on. Get ready to go. And arise, speak to them all that I have commanded you. And here it is again. Be not dismayed at their faces. Anybody, that's the reason you don't witness for people. You don't witness. You're afraid of people's faces. Amen. Huh? Isn't that true? Isn't that really true of everybody? You're afraid of what people are going to say about you or how they're going to treat you when you say something about the Lord, say something about how God rules in the affairs of men. You just kind of, you just don't want to deal with that. You'd rather not deal with that. Let Pastor Dave or Pastor Jim deal with that, or Danny, or, you know, somebody. Paul will do it, you know. All right. So be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. In other words, if you begin to step away from the call of God, you in fact begin to go backward in your own life. Yeah, lest I confound you before them. You become a laughingstock because you have claimed, you know, to walk with God and follow God, but now you're not even talking for the guy. You're not even saying anything. Listen, for behold, I have made you this day. Now here's what he's done for you. Okay? You ready? I have made you this day a defensed or a fortified city, and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. In other words, you against the world, baby. This is what I have done. I have made you a human fortress and bulwark for me against all of that. Here's your ministry. Against the whole of the United States government and Congress and the president and the governor and the courts and the city council and your precinct chairman. From the lowest to the highest, I have made you this brazen wall against all of them. Does that sound fun? Well, not your brains, no. And they shall fight against you. Not only, they're not just kind of standing against you, they're going to fight against you. Verse 19, what does it say? But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. Woo! I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. So, good timing. So, are you Jeremiah? Yeah, you are. One last thing. I'll read real quickly over here. Look at Jeremiah 29. Not 11, but we'll end up at 11. Everybody know Jeremiah 29:11. Know the plans that you have for you. Plans to prosper you and to bless you. Okay, Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 4. Here they are in Babylon. Or Babylon came to them. And they've been carried away to Babylon. Here they are. So they're living under the yoke of Babylon. It's kind of like we are. Babylon kind of came here and we kind of let them come in and kind of run their show from here, right? Amen? Anybody notice that? Thus saith the Lord of hosts and the God of Israel to all that are carried away. Here's Jeremiah talking to everybody. And here's what God says to you. That all that are carried away captives, who I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem and Babylon, to Babylon. Remember what he told him to do? To throw down, to tear down, to destroy, and to what? What are the last two things? To plant and to build. Plant and to build, right? So here's the word of the Lord to you. Build houses. So you're in the middle of Babylon. I don't want to make them look good. I don't want to help them. I don't want to help their economy. No, you're out there because you messed up. You're out there because you just didn't obey God. You just blew off God. And I want you to know that as a believer, if you begin to just blow off the call of God, you're going to be in trouble. It's kind of like getting out from under your umbrella. You know, you're kind of running out in the street and not paying attention, and you're going to get whacked. You're going to get run over. You're going to get hit. He says here, do this. God says, do this. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of it. Take you wives and fathers and sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city. Work in the government. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away, and pray to the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof you shall have peace. So it's not your city. It's not the one you built up, the one you tried to build, the one you tried to make happen. But God is saying, if wherever you are, build it up. Make it the best. It didn't mean participate in all of their wickedness. It said build up the structure. Build up the infrastructure. Make it better than when you left it. Amen? Because people begin to see how God is using you to build up everything that is a part of their lives. Doesn't mean you have to watch their shows and do all that. What it does mean is you're building up that the quality of life in that place. I'm just reading out of Jeremiah in Babylon. Last part of that verse in 7, for in the peace thereof you shall have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dream, to your dreams which cause you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name, I have not sent them. Now the rabble rousers. All right? Now this doesn't mean don't work for righteousness. It just means don't be a terrorist. Don't bomb the place. Don't try to tear the place down. Doesn't mean don't try to don't preach. Doesn't mean don't preach the gospel. It means wherever you go, build up the place. How much more is there to build up a place than to build a house, plant a garden, and preach the gospel? Amen. For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For now here's that where that verse fits. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. When's the expected end? At the end of that time in Babylon. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn your captivity, will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. All right? God's good? Amen. Yeah. Okay. Read the rest of that. God is having a good time, and so am I. Amen? Amen. Aren't you? Amen. Yoo-hoo! Yes, Peggy.